I invite you to turn tonight in your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 21. A short reading out of Deuteronomy 21, and then we'll turn over to the Heidelberg tonight to consider the fifth commandment. And the fifth commandment is found on page 246, just one question and answer there. You know, the fifth commandment itself tonight, an important commandment: honor your father and your mother so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. I'd like to begin with a question and answer tonight on page 246. I'll ask the question, please respond with the answer, and we'll read the short passage out of the book of Deuteronomy. So this is question 104 tonight. What is God's will for you in the fifth commandment? That I show honor, love, and faithfulness to my father and mother and all those in authority over me, submit myself with proper obedience to all their good teaching and discipline, and also that I be patient with their failings, for by their hand God wills to rule us. I just think that's a fabulous question and answer when you understand how beautiful what's said there, that even in their failings, God intends in all these authority structures. You'll notice what it says there: by their hand, it's God's will to rule us. In Deuteronomy 21, we've been looking at these test cases and seeing how serious God takes his law in the Old Covenant, and tonight we come to this little section of how to deal with rebellious children. And again, this is one of these Old Covenant passages that shows the severity of the guilt and sin when there is rebellion, and we'll look at and appropriate that tonight and looking at the whole story, and again, of how the Lord has treated us in the New Covenant in proper response. So this is Deuteronomy 21, beginning at verse 18. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and though they discipline him, will not listen to them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of the city at the gate of the place where he lives. And they shall say to the elders of the city, "This is our son. This our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard." Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall purge the evil from your midst. And all Israel shall hear and fear. And there ends the reading of God's word. Well, that's quite a psalm that we sung out here a moment ago. I remember when we were in the thick of our children being young and all the problems that come with that, I would pick that psalm and Darcy would come home and she would say to me, "I'm having a hard time singing that psalm." Joyful children, son and daughter, shall about your table meet. Nothing feels very joyful about our table right now. These are the challenges with, and I felt the same way, these are the challenges with raising children and the challenges that we face, that sometimes this great truth of all the blessing that we enjoy as we're going through the struggles of raising children doesn't always go so smoothly, does it? It's not always so easy, is it? And that's what I want to consider with you tonight, is the heart of this commandment, what the Lord is commanding, what he is teaching us and instructing us in. I read a book not too long ago on parenting, and the author states that by the ages of 10 to 12, scores of children have already left the home. Not in the sense of walking out the door, but in the sense of leaving mom and dad as an authority figure in their lives. Today's parents are part of the 60s generation whose protest movement has challenged the way we think about authority and the rights of the individual. As a result, he says, children no longer sit in neat rows in school. They no longer ask for permission to speak. They no longer fear the consequences of talking back to their parents. They do not accept a submissive role in life. The author goes on to say, how does that have a bearing on parenting? He says, the old ways no longer work. The old authoritarian ways, and those weren't always good ways. The old authoritarian ways are ineffective, but we don't know, what he says, any new ways to do the job. That's what he makes the case for in the book. But I think that raises an important challenge for us and how in our days we nurture and raise children. And as they are called to honor their parents, there's to be a beautiful harmony in that relationship that God put in the home. But you know that it's characteristic of the last days. In the last days, perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud. And the list goes on to say, a peculiar characteristic of the last days is that children will be disobedient to their parents. Now, I don't know how much worse it could get. I don't know what it could look like in getting a lot worse. But we seem to be living the fulfillment of that time, in that time, where children live in disobedience to their parents. And much of the problem that we're facing in society, much of the breakdown of society that we're experiencing right now, as we see all the complaining and all of the problems, has a direct bearing on the failure in the home for parents to properly teach and train their children, and children to learn to be submissive to their parents. Now, those are words in our day that make everyone cringe. Those are words that make everyone stop in fright, that we've been scared to use any of this old language. But the reality is we're suffering the consequences because of the breakdown of the home. And that's what I want to consider with you a little bit tonight, to look at the nature of this commandment, its importance for society, its importance for the kingdom of God, and to help you and to encourage you in this great command as parents, but also as children, to honor your parents in the Lord, for this is right. When we were first starting raising children, I went back to my early sermons on this particular, and I was a lot tougher, I think, then. Now that I've raised children, I think I've realized how hard this really is. And it doesn't mean that my stance has changed, but I think you have to have wisdom, obviously, as a parent in growth, and how properly to nurture and train children. So I don't want to leave tonight parents and children without hope. There's a really good message in this and an encouragement in this that we will most surely end on. But I know how difficult that it is and that we live in difficult times to do this. And I think we need to be constantly challenged afresh as to God's good design, what God put in place at creation, why he set these things in place, why it's so important for there to be proper nurture and care and discipline in the home, and to fulfill our obligations as children and as parents before the Lord. That's the heart of this command. And this is the one command that is attached with what? A promise. So the Lord has something good to say when this is honored to us. And that we begin tonight with the fifth commandment, which of course reads, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. It's a commandment dealing with, as you notice, children and parents and all authority structures, as R. Heidelberg said tonight, which was incredibly helpful, that I show love, honor, and faithfulness to my father and mother and all those in authority over me. That's the heart of this commandment. And you stop and say, well, all? What if I don't like the guy in authority over me, right? I mean, this is a challenging commandment, isn't it? We're going to look particularly tonight at the relationship in the home and the relationship between parents and children. And I want to say to the boys and girls tonight, this is probably one of those sermons I should have preached this morning, right? This is what everyone says to me when I walk out. You should have preached that one in the morning. That's when all the boys and girls are really here. But I see some boys and girls here tonight. So this is an important command for you tonight because the Lord has given you parents who love you and who care for you, and we're not just thinking of the little ones. I think that's why this commandment gets set aside a lot. We're looking at the whole course of life. There's to be a beautiful harmony and a beautiful respect among children and parents. You remember it was the Pharisees who, when their parents were old, had neglected their parents. And Jesus had to deal with their gross hypocrisy in Matthew chapter 15, that they would use their money and claim money to avoid the law which commanded caring for parents in old age. So Jesus clearly understood this as extending to all the years. I remember when I was quite young and needed to be disciplined by my mother. Now this is weird because my mother's in this congregation, so it's a little awkward to just talk about these things now. But every time Pastor Gordon was bad, and yeah, that happened, surprisingly. She would always sit me down, and I still can hear it ringing in my ears every time I needed discipline. And I got disciplined. Children, obey your parents, Ephesians 5, in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. I don't know how many times I heard that, but I can tell you it's still, every time I hear it, I can still hear my mom's voice. Still hear it. What we've been doing in the Old Testament is looking at these test cases that demonstrate how holy God is, how much he cares about his law, reflective of his righteousness, of his holiness, of his righteous, good, holy character, and how serious he takes his commandments. I don't know if there's a more important command for our times when we look at domestic life and we look at how structures, the basic building block of society, the family is given. There's a more important one that needs to be considered at the moment through the whole breakdown of society. The fifth is very important for us to consider. And I want to spend a few minutes here interweaving Deuteronomy and look very simply at the implications of this command for us, so it's not a difficult outline tonight. Notice in Deuteronomy chapter 21, if a man has a stubborn and a rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and, assumption here, though they do the right thing and they discipline him. Okay. How many of you have all felt when we're talking to sons and daughters that we've come to the point at times where we give up and no longer feel that we can say anything to them because we've been silenced? When they know what they're doing is wrong and we have sat them down and we have talked to them. It's one of the great pressures of our day to say nothing, to let it ride, because we're so afraid we're going to lose them. To which you should rightly say, if you have a stubborn and rebellious son, they're already on the path to being lost. This is God's restraining voice in their life. If you have a rebellious son or daughter, and this son or daughter will not listen to the voice, which presupposes speaking, which presupposes involvement, which presupposes active speaking of the truth, which we're going to get to in a minute. And though they discipline this son or daughter, there are consequences to actions. I'm not paying for your college if you're going to go live in sexual immorality. Then his father and mother shall take hold of him, bring him out to the elders of his city at the gate of the place where he lives. And they shall say to the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. Here's his sins. He's a glutton. Sits around and does nothing. Lazy. And he's drinking all the time. Getting drunk. And we have talked to him, and we have talked to him, and we have talked to him. Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones. Can you imagine how hard that must have been for parents? So you shall purge the evil from your midst, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Now, what we're dealing with in this particular case is a kind of rebellion in a child that was harmful to the whole community. Notice we've been emphasizing this this morning, Philippians, with the two women who were fighting in the church, Euodia and Syntyche. This wasn't some isolated fight. It was spoiling the whole work of the church. It was contaminating the church. And the way that the scripture views sin is never some isolated thing you're doing off in the corner. It is never something that is isolated in God's eyes. You are part of a body. You are part of a whole. And we have not learned to think this way yet. It's covenantal when you look at sin. Nothing's isolated, nothing's separated. It's not, well, I'm doing something over here and it's really not hurting anyone else. That's a lie of the devil. This is why the Lord wanted evil purged from the body, because somebody's sin was a contaminant to the whole body. So here was this child, he's rebellious in the community, and they were an identity, as an identity, they were the holy people of the Lord, set apart from the earth. And the ways of sin had broken into the camp, if you will. So this case is that of a son or daughter who has made the choice to deliberately and persistently and callously continue in the sin when they've been warned and warned and warned and warned and disciplined. Now, before we address this, I want to notice the connection here to the responsibility of the parents to speak to the child. It's always difficult to understand cases like this because everything comes in a context, and everything has different facets to it, and sometimes challenges to it that are difficult. But in this case, let's assume, as is presented in this particular text, that the parent was doing the due diligence to talk to the child. Talk to the teen. Talk to the young adult. What was the responsibility? This is the first crucial point, I think, for the fifth commandment. Because you can't tell children to honor their parents if there's nothing to honor. What was the responsibility of parents in Israel with regard to their children? It was a covenantal responsibility of parents in Israel with regard to their children to raise them and to train them and to nurture them and to discipline them in the Lord. Right after giving the law in Deuteronomy, you'll remember there's that favorite passage, and this was a big passage for Israel. And they understood the integrity of this and the importance of this, where in Deuteronomy chapter 6, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart." I'm just not giving you words that mean nothing. I want you to believe these words. They need to go into the heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You know, this is important, isn't it? That, especially when we're noticing in a child's life a pattern of disobedience, pull that child in all the different opportunities that we have. Take them on a drive. And we talk to them. Son or daughter, you're a child of the Lord. Do you know the Lord loves you? We're noticing this pattern in your life that's sinful. And you're not supposed to behave like that. And then to talk about the Lord's good ways and righteousness and truth. This was a solemn responsibility to train and discipline children in the word of the Lord. The word was to be central in the home. Remember the context of this when the Lord gave this. Oh, Israel knew all too well. What was the one thing that when Pharaoh finally gave up and said, "All right, you all can go, Moses, you and the people of Israel. There's just one qualification I have left. Leave your children. Leave them. You know the devil wants your children?" That was the devil speaking. "You guys can go. I'll wipe you out that way. I'll just take your children." That's why they say the church is one generation from extinction. Notice God's remedy for this. Parents had to be diligent in training the children in the Lord's ways. And what a benefit of a covenant community. What a benefit of a church. What a benefit of catechism classes and teachers and all this blessing. Teach them when you sit in your house. By the way, it's not just the Christian school. Teach them when you sit in your house. Family worship was important in Israel. We tend to think that worship only occurs when we come together in church. Do we ever sing outside of church? Make melody in your hearts, one to another. Bless one another, says Ephesians. You know, you can do that for your children. God wanted this to occur in the family. It's clear that the home is designed to be a place for reading the word and prayer, and it leaves a lasting impression on the child. Proverbs 1, my son, hear the instruction of your father. Do not forsake the law of your mother. For what will be the result of that? They will be a gracious ornament on your head. When a child is taught the Lord's ways and then disobeys, which happens, doesn't it? We all know that. We've all tried it. Notice the passage said tonight, when you've spoken and then when you've disciplined. God calls parents to discipline their children. Think of how much discipline's hated in our culture today. There was a responsibility to use the voice God's given you, a voice box, and to say, son or daughter, that's not right. That's God's restraining voice. Did you notice that, boys and girls, tonight? That I be patient. You may say, oh, my parents have done so many things wrong. Well, they have. For by their hand, God wills to rule you. As I said before, the great pressure in our time is to say nothing. And we're doing nothing for our children when we say nothing. Such an important point tonight. The obedience of the child, listen to this, is bound up with the expectation of the parent. You have parents who just want to be a child's friend, that'll be the relationship. You have parents who want to remove boundaries and let them do whatever they want to do, your children will live without boundaries. You have parents who neglect the duty to train and nurture their children, demanding accountability, their whole life will show it. They'll be unruly because you've taught them that. That's the basic thing here. Many ways today, I think parents are afraid of their children. And they're more afraid of them than fearing God. Eli did that, remember? Here are his sons who are priests, drinking and sleeping with the women at the tabernacle door. And what does God say to Eli? You are honoring your sons more than me. So the commandment itself presupposes an active godly involvement of parents in the lives of their children. What a good thing that is. What a healthy thing that is. In Proverbs 13, he who spares the rod hates his son. He who loves him disciplines him promptly. Promptly has the effect of stopping the behavior. Proverbs 23, do not withhold correction from a child. If you beat him with a rod, he's not going to die. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. By disciplining them, we deliver them. Now, the situation in Deuteronomy is this. The young man who knows better has been trained correctly. He's been trained really well. He's been in the covenant community. He knows the truth. He's received the truth. He's professed faith. His parents have lovingly come and said to him, son, you can't do this. You can't do this. You're a child of the covenant. You can't choose Baal. That's not your choice. God put his covenant sign on you. They had the courage to address their son or daughter. They had the courage to sit down and not make light of it. And that was the responsibility. And it wasn't just, in this case, some careless sin. All children are going to make careless sins. All young adults are going to do careless sins. We're going to make momentary sins. We're going to sometimes maybe some sins that really can wreck life. What we're looking at here is the hard, recalcitrant heart. The rebellious son. The hard son, the son that rolls his eyes and refuses to listen. It's the 1 John attitude. Remember the beginning of 1 John has three times where it says, if we say, if we say, if we say. If you study out 1 John, there's a progression in it. If you say you're a Christian and you live a different way, you're lying. If you say that somebody comes to you and says you're sinning, you say, I've not sinned in this case, you're lying. And then it says, if you say you've never sinned, it's a progression in a hard, growing, hardened heart that 1 John is dealing with. In all those cases, the Lord is saying, listen, every time you come to me, I'll confess your sins. Don't harden your heart. I will forgive you and I'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. This son says, forget it. I don't believe any of it. Leave me alone. Don't judge me. That's the attitude. That's what we're dealing with. So if any man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey his father and mother, and when they chastise him, when they discipline him, he will not even listen. They go to the elders. He's persisting in this case and getting drunk. He's a glutton. Notice the holy community was involved here. The son was endangering the community, the witness and status and separateness of the community. And the principle was, along with church discipline, that's why we purge out. Well, the elders had to get involved. So the elders would sit down, and they just didn't grab stones. Oh, no, no, no. The point to bring in the saints, the point to bring in authority structures, the point to bring in those who love you, is maybe they'll hear that voice. Maybe they'll listen to the pastor. Maybe they'll listen to the elders. And the elder comes and says, son, you're a son. You're a son of mine too. You can't live like that. You can't do those things. This is the kind of case, you know, where this hard heart continues to persist against all authority structures. And by the way, I think what you'll see in people's lives who reject the authority structures of parents is it breaks out everywhere. It starts in the home and it breaks out everywhere. Now, this is the particular situation in which they were in. And in the old covenant, you'll notice very clearly here, if we get to the point where all avenues and remember, when we can't control ourselves, God puts people in our lives to help us. And when we can't control ourselves, he puts restraints to help us. So what has to happen here? Old covenant, I want all the young adults and everyone to listen to this. If you pulled this in the old covenant, you would have been stoned to death. You would not have been able to say, I need a safe space. I'm going to go out and do my old thing. It was over for you. That's old covenant. You need to feel the weight of that. It's really important. That's how serious God takes this. Now, this is where we come to talking to the children for a minute. It's a great responsibility on the part of children to listen and obey their parents. Boys and girls, you hear me? It's something very important from the youngest of age to do. God commands you, did you notice the beautiful words tonight, that I show honor and love and faithfulness to my father and my mother? God put them in your life to be the greatest blessing to you, to keep you within the rails, to love you. I'll come back to the gospel in a minute. God has given you parents to nurture you and to mature you and to help you and to correct you and to train you. There will be times along the way you don't agree. But that's why you have parents. There's a maturity that comes into this. I know the temptations are great. I know the pressures are great. I know that today we have a whole generation of young adults that we're not doing real well with in the church to reach them and minister to them, and we are struggling to know how best to do that. I own that as a pastor. But you have to appreciate why God put these blessings in your lives as a son or daughter of God. You know he chose you? You know, he chose to put his sign on you. God desires for you tonight to respect your parents, to love your parents, to honor your parents, to not talk back to your parents, to be disciplined, and to listen carefully because they know better than you. They know better than you. Now, maybe there's parents along the way who've made very sinful choices. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the kind of parenting that God has put in place in your life that we fight against. And when you're frustrated or angry, what does the Lord want you to do, just like this morning, boys and girls? Here's something so beautiful for you, boys and girls. When you're anxious, young adults, when you're anxious, what can you do? You can go to the Lord, and you can cast your burden before Him, and He also promises to you to give you peace that surpasses all understanding. God has chosen them to rule over you and to help you. To disobey your parents is to disobey God. That's the message. In fact, God gives you great encouragement tonight, doesn't He? You know what God does? He gives you a promise in this. When you honor your parents, you will live long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. What does that mean? Well, we could look at the eternal land and talk about the promise of eternal life. I don't think that's what He's talking about as some kind of conditional on obedience to earn eternal life. That's not at all what He's talking about. This is something that's important. The choices you make to honor your parents, the Lord is saying there will be fruits from that in the course of life. When your parents pray for you to believe the gospel and to marry a believer and to pursue the right way, you have a path before you, don't you, to choose. You could say, forget it, I'm going to go do my own thing. And what's going to happen to you? I can tell you right now, you're going to suffer a lot of hardship in life. The Lord won't let His children go, but I can tell you right now, you're going to suffer a lot of hardship in life. It's not going to go well for you. Why do we always have to test that, to learn that truth? There are fruits from listening to the good instruction of your parents. As I was writing this tonight, I was thinking of something that that happened to me at Henny Wybinga's funeral. I was out in the parking lot, and I can't mention his name, I won't mention his name, but someone from this church who was raised in this church, and I asked him if I could tell the story at some point. He goes, you tell him. So I have a green light. He'd lived a rebellious life, grew up as a covenant child in this church. And he began to date somebody he shouldn't be dating. And old Henny Wybinga, I don't know how old she was at the time, walked up to him out in the parking lot years ago when he was a teenager. And she said, who are you dating? And the guy said her name. And he said, you marry him, you're going to be a mess. You're going to have all kinds of problems. And she said, he said, I'd never talked to Henny Wybinga in my life. And he said, you know what I did? I married that woman, and I'm divorced today. If only I'd have listened to Henny Wybinga, I'd have saved myself a lot of problems. He says, I couldn't miss her funeral. Covenant community. How many of us would do that and go talk to our young adults when we see those kind of things? And that stood out to him. That saint that he went to her funeral. Well, I leave that with you because it's important, isn't it? It dawned on me as I was writing this tonight. No, I didn't write it tonight, by the way. I wrote all week. I said that. If a man has a rebellious son, I couldn't get away from this. When Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son. The more they were called, the more they went their way. They kept sacrificing to the Baals and burning offerings to idols, and yet it was I who taught Ephraim how to walk. I took them up by their arms. But they did not know that I healed them. I led them with cords of kindness and with bands of love. And I became to them as one who eases the yoke on their jaws. And I bent down to them and fed them. They shall not return to the land of Egypt, but Assyria shall be their king because they've refused to return to me. The sword shall rage against their cities, consume the bars of their gates, devour them because of their counsels. My people are bent on turning away from me. And though they call out to the Most High, he shall not raise them up at all. Oh, but how could I give them up? Oh, Ephraim, how can I hand you over, O Israel? How can I make you like Adma? How can I treat you like Zeboiim? My heart recoils within me. My compassion grows warm and tender. I will not execute my burning anger. I will not again destroy Ephraim. For I am God and not a man, the Holy One in your midst. And I will not come in wrath, Hosea, to a rebellious son. Did God give up on his rebellious son? Oh, he disciplined him. Who was the rebellious son? All of us. What did God do? I'll send my son instead, whom I love and who's perfect, and I'll bring him back. Who wins rebellious sons and daughters? I read this statement by an author named Scott Keith. Too often, as a father, I've demanded compliance when I ought to have shown mercy and compassion. Too often, I've been the mother with a deeper voice and bigger biceps. Too often, I've been suspicious when I should have trusted. Too often, I have praised the use of the law in my house over against the need for the gospel. I am a dad and a sinner. While I strive to be a model of grace to my children and my wife, for that matter, I am far too often the very opposite. I know that being a good dad can be an imperfect picture of the love, forgiveness, and acceptance we receive from God on account of Christ. We speak the truth in love. We discipline because we love. Don't read that as saying we don't do those things. But you have a heavenly Father who has not acted in rage on your rebellion. A Father who in all your failures loved you and couldn't give up on you. Who cares about you. He even says that when he disciplines you, he's not angry at you. But treats you as a loving Father does to his sons and daughters. J. Alexander, years ago in his book, Family Worship, said something that just startled me. I no longer marvel. Christianity becomes a dying, empty thing in the houses of those professors where there's no joint worship of God in the home. Family prayer invited and bespeaks the blessing of God on all concerned, but chiefly on him who leads it. Better a roofless than a prayerless house. Then he goes on to say this. Imagine a child who contemplates going in a wrong direction and rebelling. And before that child is the father who constantly leads the family in prayer and is on his knees for him. Alexander says, the example of family worship imprinted already upon his heart and the prayers that have already been constantly offered to God on the child's behalf and the love that child has received from a caring father who's actually involved in the life and a mother, when a child wants to rebel, are like arrows going through that heart. The child says, how can I offend against my father who daily wrestles with God in my behalf? How can I be careless about the soul when he's that concerned for me? That's like the love of God. That'll win your children. That kind of treatment of him, the Father, constantly pointing us to the love in his Son. The perfect relationship. Think about that. of the Son and the Father, a love that was perfect and obedient for you, is a reminder to you constantly that the Father loves you, and ultimately of the grace that we constantly need in life that he's giving to us. Let rebellious children see that when we lovingly discipline and see our care and our tears to win them arrows through the heart. As children and parents, I pray tonight that God would give us all the grace to honor him in honoring those whom he has placed over our lives to be a blessing to us. Speak the truth. Don't fear. God is sovereign, and God is also sovereign over the hearts of your children. And in that confidence, we can pray to him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for so rich a commandment and so beautiful. You have been so tender with us as rebellious sons, and you gave us your only begotten Son. And if that doesn't restrain us and that doesn't stop us and put us on our knees in tears, what will? Surely the old authoritarian ways of yelling never really worked. But while we have to discipline and while we have to do what we have to do in speaking the truth, may we never give up on our children. And may we remember, Lord, the love that you have shown to us in Christ as we seek to nurture and train our children. And we pray for our children tonight that they, Lord, would believe what they have been taught, and that all the temptations and tests and trials and all the things to pull them off the path of righteousness, that they, Lord, would be kept by your grace through the voice of their parents, and that this commandment would be honored in our lives. Forgive us where we all have failed, and be merciful to us in Christ as you have demonstrated over and over. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.